Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
You know, I so wanted the introduction to this segment to be perfect. I worked on it for hours yesterday. I thought about it all last night. I asked my staff to take a look at it, but they just couldn't grasp what I wanted, and so I had to write it all myself. Sounds good, right? Isn't it the perfectionists of the world who achieve success? And to set the record straight, no, I'm not a perfectionist. I just play one on the radio. And it may sound funny, but the relentless pressure of perfectionism may have more side effects than just driving everyone around you crazy. Recent studies seem to suggest that it can lead to devastating psychological stressors like depression, eating disorders, and even suicidal tendencies. Here to talk about perfectionism and mental health are two guests. Gordon Flett, professor of psychology at York University in Canada. He's also the author of Perfectionism, Theory, Research, and Treatment, published by the American Psychological Association in 2002. And Monica Ramirez-Bosco, a member of the psychology faculty at the University of Texas Southwestern Medical Center at Dallas. She's also the author of Never Good Enough, How to Use Perfectionism to Your Advantage Without Letting It Ruin Your Life, published by the Free Press in 2000. Gordon and Monica, welcome.
Thank you,
How
Brian.
Are you?
And listeners, are you a perfectionist? Is this reflected in your New Year's resolutions? Do you have a long list of very tough ones on yourself? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And let's get the terminology straight at the outset. Monica, what is a perfectionist clinically? What are the signs, or should I say symptoms?
Well, I think clinically perfectionism exists on a continuum from none at all, those who could care less and are very comfortable with a lack of perfection, to those who are probably up on the clinical range, what we would consider fairly severe. So there's every shade in between. So the more severe range, when you're talking about people who really need to get some help for it, are folks who can't not be a perfectionist, who are stressed a great deal of the time. Because of that, they tend to probably waste time trying to get things perfect when others think things are fine. They tend to have extremely high expectations for themselves and other people, and also contributing to stress and depression. They go way out of their way to avoid mistakes and to try to please others or impress others, and that's probably the more extreme end of things. Sometimes with the extreme perfectionism, you're getting folks who have obsessive-compulsive disorder, who just can't let go of details and tend to sort of lose the focus of an activity because they get lost in it.
And Gordon, I understand that you've identified three different types of perfectionists. Is that correct?
Yes. We talk about self-oriented perfectionists, who are people that striving for personal standards and personal glory, which is what most people think about. But also the interpersonal side to this has to be emphasized. There's the other-oriented perfectionist who demands other people be perfect and is very upset when they're not and sometimes lets them know it, and that can cause relationship problems. And the flip side of that, feeling that you're a target of those expectations, which we call socially prescribed perfectionism, also could be called socially imposed perfectionism. That's the sense that no matter what you do, people will never be happy because they expect you to be absolutely perfect. And if you do well, the bar is going to be pushed up even higher.
And Monica, is it always a bad thing? I mean, why isn't putting pressure on yourself to achieve described as healthy striving? Someone wrote a comment to the New York Times webpage after they did an article on perfectionism and wrote, "I'm incredibly grateful for perfectionists. I wouldn't want to fly in a plane or have brain surgery without them. Without perfectionists, some things in society just cannot get done properly, if at all."
Oh, I absolutely agree. I only hire perfectionists, too, by the way, in my research clinic. They do the best work. They're the most organized. You can count on them every single time. I am not a perfectionist by nature. I can be when I need to be. But it's a wonderful tool, and I think it serves other people quite well. I mean, we want our employees to work outrageous hours to get things right to please us. I think that's a fabulous thing, and it does. And I also want my pilot to be perfectionistic in that behavior. So I think it's actually a very, very good thing. There's a limit to it, and it's interesting because sometimes people will be able to turn off and on their perfectionism depending on the arena. So at work, they might be excessive in their perfectionism, but they might be able to turn it off at home and have a fine personal life. It's a problem only when it goes over that line and causes them distress, but otherwise it's a very good thing.
Eric in Englewood, you're on WNYC. Hi, Eric.
Hey, I don't mean to be the first caller, but thank you for taking my call. I love your show. I live with somebody who's borderline perfectionist, and I see that sometimes I think it gets in his way.
How so?
To affect his enjoyment of the things that he does, whether they be social events or wrapping a package or cleaning up or preparing dinner even. Things have to be just too good too often.
Gordon, sound familiar?
Yeah, one of the hallmarks of this is a chronic dissatisfaction that things that other people might enjoy, the perfectionist might not enjoy because they could have gone that extra mile, they could have done that little bit more, or they could have done it sooner. And, you know, I'd also like to qualify in terms of would you want people working for you or perfectionists. So that's often the case. People say that they can see the positive side to that, but a lot of people say they certainly don't want their boss to be a perfectionist. If they got somebody who's looking over their shoulder and demanding that. And that's the key, is that other people are evaluated by these same standards by the perfectionist, and they often let them know about it when things aren't exactly perfect.
San in Hewlett, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Yes, hi, Brian. Thank you for taking my call. I think I fall between the second category and closer to the third category, but not in the third category yet. But my question is, I have two boys, and how do I let go of certain things and not pushing the boys? Because I see myself doing that, saying, like, you need to do this, you need to do this, you have to do this, you have to clean up. But at the same time, I know it's hurting them emotionally as well. How do you learn sort of let go of certain things? And also, the second question is, can perfectionists be perfectionists in certain aspects of life and be sort of have a don't care attitude in certain aspects of life, or do they have to be like 100% all the time?
Great questions. And Gordon Flatt and Monica Ramirez-Bosco, you both treat people with symptoms of perfectionism in your practices. So maybe you can both give San a little quick advice on how to let go, especially pertaining to his kids.
Well, I can tell you quickly, I have one perfectionistic son out of three, which is sort of interesting when you think about parenting. They're all adults now, so I've got a chance to watch them as they've grown up. And I think there is some part of perfectionism that is just innate. That's just who they are, and you're going to see that part of them, and you can shape it as you wish. I do think that children learn much more by example than by instruction. And so when you're watching your son, or your son is watching you do your behaviors that are perfectionistic, he's going to learn much more from that than you telling him or not telling him to be a perfectionist. So I would say controlling your behavior in their presence and trying to control your own perfection is probably a really good start.
Thank you.
I'd like to chip in that the advice for perfectionistic parents, I'd say, is it's okay to set standards. I think a critical thing is how you react if the standard is not attained. Parents can have expectations, but it's important not to respond in a punitive, hostile way if those expectations aren't met. As for the second part about being perfect 100% all the time, that's a key distinction. It's natural for people to want to be perfect in one or two things or in certain situations in their job. It's when it's in all aspects of their life. They want to be perfectly groomed, perfect relationships, perfect achievements. That's when we're talking about trait perfectionism, and it generalizes across a number of contexts.
San, good luck. And Elena in Astoria, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Yes, hello. I was wondering if there is a genetic predisposition to perfectionism. Could you inherit that trait even if your parents didn't raise you?
Monica, are perfectionists made or born? Have they
discovered? I can tell you that I think there is some part of perfectionism that just seems to be innate, and whether you get that from your parents genetically or that's your unique trait, it's hard to tell. I do think you certainly observe your parents and learn from their behaviors, and so you can pick up perfectionism or be trained into it, certainly even if you don't have the genetics for it. I think a lot of personality traits are innate. And so it's very likely that's part of it. Now, it doesn't mean you're condemned to be a perfectionist forever. You could certainly learn how to control it and how to use it when you need it and how to lower the volume on it when you don't need it, even if it is something that you've inherited.
You know, we've just gone through the holidays and the the day that people who make resolutions make resolutions. Is this a particularly difficult time for perfectionists?
I think it is. It's a time of reflection and the end of the year, where you are in terms of your accomplishments in life and overall. And also, there's certain times in life I think we do this as well. We get a little older and we look and say, okay, are we getting any closer to that elusive goal? And the key thing when people get to that state is to learn not to be hard on themselves and remember that it really is the case that no one is perfect. I like to emphasize that we're perfectly human, and we need to realize that we do our best, but when that doesn't occur, we don't need to beat ourselves up about it.
Monica, anything about this time of year and perfectionists?
I think what it is that people make goals for their year, but they don't define them clearly enough. And those who tend to be perfectionistic have a picture in their mind of what the end result of the goal will look like. So when they say, I'm gonna do better this year with my finances, in their mind they may picture doing it perfectly. They may not say it out loud or even to themselves that way, but if they tend to be perfectionistic, they may set unrealistic expectations. So I would always advise them to try to be as specific as possible when they set a goal for the year and really look at it and ask other people for feedback on whether that goal seems realistic. If you keep it in terms of general ideas, there's a tendency for it to go more towards sort of an all-or-nothing view. I'm either going to accomplish my goal perfectly or I'm not going to do it at all.
We're talking about perfectionism with Monica Ramirez-Busco, author of Never Good Enough, How to Use Perfectionism to Your Advantage Without Letting It Ruin Your Life, and Gordon Flett, author of Perfectionism, Theory, Research, and Treatment. And Howard in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hi, Howard.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
All right. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. I have a couple of questions. First of all, the dichotomy between being a perfectionist and expecting perfection from others. And I'd like to hear what your experts have to say about the difference. It's all right for me to make mistakes, but it's not all right for you to make mistakes. And also, I think we have a social expectation of perfection on a certain level. If you go to a classical music performance and the recital player, the pianist or the violinist or the singer, whomever, misses the last note, that's what you'll remember.
Huh. Or any one note along the way if it's obvious enough for you to hear. Gordon, anything on those questions?
Well, the first part is interesting because there is an inherent narcissism that's built into the expecting perfection from others. And, you know, it's funny that the narcissists are people who tend to be sort of overcompensating for self-esteem issues, but they're all very ready to judge other people. And most people, when they talk about perfectionists, they talk about the worrying, self-condemning perfectionists. But there is a subset of these people who think that, you know, striving for perfection is something that they should be doing, and other people should be doing it, and they're very ready to let other people know about it when they don't measure up.
And here is a self-described perfectionist calling as Anonymous from Brooklyn. Hello, Anonymous.
Hi.
Whoever you are. What's your question?
My question is, I would like the experts to comment on two perfectionists who are in relationship together. I'm in a new relationship, and we've already admitted to each other how anal we both are about certain things. And just how does that work?
That makes for a really tough pairing, doesn't it? There are lots of challenges when you're in a relationship with someone. And, you know, it's interesting because I think sometimes when you pair up with another perfectionist, you may get lucky and have perfectionism in different pockets of your life. So it may not be on the same issue, but you certainly can understand one another's points of view. It's a good thing that you've already admitted it and you've already opened up some dialogue about perfectionism, and it might be good to be able to talk about your expectations for one another and sort of the common things that you are experiencing or when you run up against your perfectionism. I do a lot of treatment of couples where somebody is a self-proclaimed perfectionist but doesn't know it, and that creates a great deal of stress. The fact that you two have already acknowledged it, you're way ahead of the game.
All right, good luck, whoever you are. And we've just got 30 seconds left, but do either of you think perfectionism should be recognized as a psychiatric disorder for insurance purposes or whatever? Because you've been talking about it pretty much in that way, but distinguishing it from, say, OCD.
Well, it's a personality trait, but I think in extreme forms where it's come to rule someone's life, that it's reasonable to look at it as a personality disorder. And
there are already clinical descriptions of it for when it gets to that stage?
Well, there are, but they haven't been recognized in diagnostic approaches yet, and certainly it's something that impairs treatment in terms of those standards then being used for recovery as well.
Monica, 5 seconds.
It's a component of other disorders. I don't think it stands alone as a separate problem, especially because it has such a positive element.
Monica Ramirez-Bosco from the University of Texas, Gordon Flett from York University in Canada. Thank you both so much. It's been really interesting.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Happy New Year again, everyone. Talk to you tomorrow. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.